Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And as promised, Bishop Bradley is here with us today to speak with us and talk to us about the scriptures and things going on in the diocese. Bishop, welcome.
Good morning, Deacon Louis. Good morning to all of our listeners as well.
It's good to have you here, and we also have Vicki Cessna here. Vicki, good morning.
Good morning.
And she is the Director of Communications down here at the Diocese of Kalamazoo, so if you have any questions down here at the diocese or any questions about becoming a Catholic. Here we're heading into the Advent season, a beautiful time in the church. We're going to talk about that. Bishop's going to talk about that. And we're going to read the scriptures that are read all over the world in Catholic churches all over the world and, of course, all over our city. So we're going to start. This is December 3rd, the first Sunday of Advent. And, Bishop, did you have anything that you wanted to talk about right before, or do you want to go right into the scriptures?
Well, I think, you know, we keep in mind that today is the beginning of a whole new church year, so we might greet one another liturgically and say Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is the first Sunday of Advent, which begins the new liturgical year. Last week, we celebrated the Feast of Christ the King, the conclusion, the culmination of that liturgical year, so as opposed to the rest of the world that begins a new year on January 1st, liturgically, we begin with this season of Advent. So we'll keep that in mind as we listen to the readings.
That's great. Great idea. So let's get started. Our first reading is from Isaiah 63, 16 and 17, and then 19, and then also 64, 2 through 7. You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. You are named forever. Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, with the mountains quaking before you. While you wrought awesome deeds we could not hope for. Such are they had not heard from of old. No ear has ever heard, no eye ever seen. Any God but you, doing such deeds for those who wait for him. Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you and your ways. Behold, you are angry, and we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All of our good deeds are like polluted rags. We have all withered like leaves, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is none who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to cling to you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us up to our guilt. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The responsorial psalm is from Psalm 80, verses 2 to 3, 15 to 16, and 18 to 19. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
O Shepherd of Israel, hearken. From your throne upon the cherubim, shine forth. Rouse your power and come to save us.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine and protect what your right hand has planted, the Son of Man whom you yourself made strong.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face and we shall be saved.
May your help be with the man of your right hand, with the Son of Man whom you yourself made strong. Then we will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life and we will call upon your name.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always on your account for the grace of God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, that in him you were enriched in every way, with all discourse and all knowledge, as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and by him you are called to fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the gospel reading for today is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings, and kind of gets us, whenever we hear Isaiah, I always think about Christmas. So what do you think, Bishop, of these?
Well, Isaiah is, of course, one of the prophets that we hear from a lot during the season of Advent, and there are so many beautiful passages that come from that particular prophet. This reading that we heard today, though, what struck me, perhaps in a way that never did before, is just the opening line of that reading: "You, Lord, are our Father." Mm. You know, Jesus was the one, when he first came into the world, when he began his ministry, kind of shook a lot of the people of his time when he was asked by his disciples, "Teach us how to pray." And he said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven.'" He used the plural because, while perhaps it wasn't yet obvious to the apostles at that point, God is Jesus' Father, Jesus being the Son of God. But Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father.'" And, you know, in a sense, perhaps we thought maybe that was brand new. And yet here's Isaiah using that very term, because there was already a sense in Isaiah's mind that God's people were not just his creatures or his subjects, but there was that filial relationship, and therefore a fraternal relationship amongst one another, that we were sons and daughters of God. He's got to be our Father, and so I think that to me is just a beautiful image, and we can see in the reading that he uses that plural sense a lot. You're our Redeemer. You're the one that we look to for our help. But then he goes on to talk about kind of the day of the Lord. You know, first of all, he has that prayer that mm-hmm. perhaps is a prayer that could be said on behalf of all of us. And it's kind of it's interesting the way he puts it. You know, you wouldn't say this to somebody you're afraid of. You would say it to somebody with whom you have a very strong, loving relationship, when he says, "Why do you let us do right. what we're doing?" You know, it's kind of like blaming God, but realizing that it's us that's messing up. Yes. Why do you let us harden our hearts? Why do you let us live as though we fear you not? You know, so it's kind of an interesting way. You know, it's kind of like a teenager coming home and say, why did you let me take that car when you knew I was going to have an accident or I was going to get stopped for something or another? So it's an interesting way of expressing the fact that we're sorry. You know, we're sorry for letting us, for wandering away. We're sorry for hardening our hearts. And God, please help us not to do that. It's our fault, but please help us to be saved from ourselves. And then, of course, he goes on in that very same reading to say, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you. In other words, you know, if you could enter into our lives in a very dramatic way and come leave your heavenly place of dwelling and come and really be with us, we would be okay. Well, what did we celebrate at Christmas?
Yes.
That's exactly what God did. He left his heavenly dwelling and came among us in the form of a baby. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of Christ. But that's not why God sent Jesus, so he'd be a beautiful baby, but so that he would become our Savior, that he would grow and ultimately save us from our sins. So it's the answer to this prayer that we're praying today in this first reading as we begin a whole new church year, as we begin a whole new season of Advent. It's not just preparing ourselves for Christmas, it's preparing for the Lord's coming. Now, how did the Lord come? He came, certainly, at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And that's what typically we think we're preparing ourselves for during the season of Advent. But what the church does every year is say, remember, there's going to be the second coming of Christ, the ultimate, the final coming. And that's going to be what we heard in the gospel last Sunday for the Feast of Christ the King. Matthew tells that beautiful parable about at the end of all time, the king will come and seated on his throne and separate the people into groups, one group on his right, the group on his left, the sheep on the right, the goats on his left. And the criteria that will be used to say whether you can come to me or depart from me is how we treated one another. Mm. And so that's really the end of all time. Jesus will come back in glory. We call that the parousia. We call that the second coming. Mm-hmm. That's what the church is reminding us about. And that's why the readings have that sense of urgency about them. Certainly the gospel, as Jesus is telling the people, don't fall asleep. Don't be asleep at the switch. Yeah. Be alert. Be awake. That doesn't mean that we just sit back and wait, you know, for the coming to come, for the second coming to come. No, we have to be active. We have to be involved in our work. We have to be doing the works of the Lord. We have to be being faithful to what our calling is, because we never know. The second coming could come this afternoon.
That's right.
Or it could come, you know, 1,000 years from now. We don't know. The people in Jesus, right after Jesus' death and resurrection, the early church, St. Paul in a particular way, was absolutely convinced the second coming was going to happen in his lifetime.
Right.
And so there was that constant sense of urgency in his writings to be ready always. 2,000 years later, we know that hasn't happened yet.
Yes.
It will happen.
Yes.
And it could be today. And it might be still a long time. But we need to be actively engaged in doing what we are called to do. So I think that's the message of Advent. It's not just this is the time to put out our Christmas decorations and get the manger ready. It's the time to really remind ourselves, what is our life all about?
And to get prepared.
Yes.
That's wonderful, Bishop. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program, and we're visiting today with Bishop Paul Bradley, the Bishop of the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And so you're listening to us all over southwestern Michigan and This is the first Sunday of Advent, so we're looking at the scriptures here, and we also have Vicki Cessna, the Director of Communications at the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And if you're interested in contacting the diocese, their website is diokzoo.org. And we're talking about the scripture readings today, but you know, this is just one portion of the Mass. This is just the Word, not that this is the Mass, but this is just one portion of what happens at the Mass. This is liturgy of the Word, basically, but there's liturgy of the Eucharist, which is the high point of the Mass, and you got to go to Mass in order for that to happen. So we invite you to come back to the church. We invite you to come to church, hopefully more than once or twice a year. So we're going to continue on with the coming of the Lord that we're talking about here. So, Vicki, do you have any thoughts even on what was happening last weekend with Christ the King, or any thoughts?
Any Advent thoughts, sure.
Absolutely.
Well, I like the idea that, you know, Advent isn't just about Christmas. I know we never decorated when I was growing up till the week before.
Okay.
And we kept our stuff up through Epiphany, which I don't know if so many people do anymore, but, and we'd move our wise men closer mm-hmm. every day.
Oh, nice.
That was mm-hmm. like a, so we tried to be very mindful of that. And I like in Isaiah when he says something like, if only you could catch us doing something good, it mm-hmm. might help. You know, it's like we might be better if we got, you know, caught doing something good more often. And so maybe that's what we're called to do this Advent, is
Amen.
Keep our minds on that.
Very good. Nice thoughts.
Well, you know, I think you bring up a good point as a mom. And I think back, you know, to my days in growing up. And, I mean, not that I ever did anything wrong. But there were times that, you know, when you would be kind of left at home and your parents were off. And it, you know, just in the same way that the scriptures are reminding us, you were never sure what time they were coming back or not. So you always wanted to try to make sure that you were doing what you were mm-hmm. supposed to do. But, you know, invariably there would be that moment when they would come right at the wrong time. And that would not be good for anybody. But I think that's an interesting point. If our relationship with God is more or less at the infantile level, mm. you know, which is not a matured relationship. If we're just in a relationship with God in which we're just kind of fearful of God, then we're always going to be thinking God's out to get us. Mm. God's going to try to figure out a way to punish us. God's mm. going to try to always be watchful, and as soon as we do something, bam, he's going to lower the boom. But that's not the right understanding of God. God, as Isaiah is trying to say to us today, and in fact says, God is our Father, mm-hmm. our Redeemer. Mm-hmm. He's the one that we go to and say, why did you let me do that stupid thing? You know, can't you give me more grace to help me? Because I can't do this on my own. And I think that's when our relationship with God becomes more mature, when we understand it's not a bad thing to say, I need help.
Amen.
You know, too often people say, well, I can do this. Who needs God? Well, we all need God.
Amen.
We all absolutely need God's grace and help. We can't possibly live our lives the way we all know we want to. I would imagine we all want to do what's right, but in order to be able to accomplish that, we need His grace, but we also need the church. We need, to your point, Deacon Louis, you know, in terms of saying, coming to Mass is not just fulfilling an obligation. It's not just because somebody said you have to do it. All right, well, then I guess I'll do it. Coming to Mass is the source of all of our grace.
Amen.
And at least once a week, to be able to receive, to hear God's word, mm-hmm. to celebrate together with brothers and sisters, all of us kind of in this together, and receiving the Eucharist so that we can go back and try to be as faithful as we can throughout that week.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's the understanding of it. It's not just kids, you know, sitting at home, you know, trying to gauge when's mom and dad coming back, and then we'll stop doing bad things
right.
and start doing good things. it's trying to say, how can we help one another to be doing the good things, to your point, so that when God comes, he does see us doing what's right.
Amen. And we receive this mission. When we go to Mass, we hear the Word, we receive the Eucharist, we receive this mission, just as Vicki is saying, to go out to do something good, to try to affect the world. Try to affect the world of change. So, okay, so we've got the first reading put away. Now we got to move on to the second and the gospel.
The second reading, I think, from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians is beautiful. Just again, just the very first line,
mm-hmm.
you know, where he says, I'm constantly giving thanks to God for you, for who you are, the Corinthian people with whom he had such a good, strong, affectionate relationship as a father for his children,
mm.
so that he wanted them to know that he's constantly giving thanks for them. You know, doesn't it help when somebody says to you, you know, I know you've been having a rough time lately. I've been keeping you in my thoughts and prayers.
Yeah,
I mean, that really does. It's helpful. So to have somebody say to me, I'm constantly praying for you, man, that's really a reassurance and a kind of a reaffirming, yeah. you know, okay, I can keep trying harder because there's somebody that has faith in me. I think that's the beauty of what it means for us to be church together, that we're in this with one another. We're not, no one of us is on our own, though each of us has to give an accounting to God for ourselves, for each of us, but we help one another. And that's that's the beautiful part that I think Paul constantly is saying for. And then he says, so that you're not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation. You know, for Paul, and I would just kind of say my own Episcopal motto is waiting in joyful hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's waiting in the very active sense. Waiting doesn't mean, like perhaps many people are finding if they're out shopping, they have to wait in line to get waited on, you know? That's a very passive, where you go to the doctor's office, you can be waiting in there for a couple hours. It's not that. It's not that kind of waiting. It's waiting for what we know is going to come, but very actively still engaged with what we're doing.
Right.
And I think, and that's what my motto is reflecting, waiting in joyful hope, because the joyful hope is about the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's at the end of all time or the way he comes to us each and every day. Mm-hmm. So there's really, when, you know, during Advent, we're really thinking about and reflecting on preparing our hearts for three different kinds of comings, to celebrate how Jesus first came to us at Christmas, at the end of all time when he will come again in glory, but also the way that the Lord comes to us every day as he mm-hmm. sends his Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to help us in the sacraments, in the Eucharist in particular, in the help and the support of one another. Amen. So I think that's what that reading is really kind of getting us to think about.
Really beautiful. And Pope Emeritus Benedict goes into that same thing, where the coming of the Lord and all these things, you know, in the Word, with priests and bishops, with us as just regular people, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and most perfectly in the Eucharist, that parousia, that coming of the Lord. Coming of the Lord to us. So,
mm-hmm.
really awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to, do you want to move on to the gospel or?
Sure. Well, okay. I mean, I think the gospel we've kind of reflected on in a sense of that watchfulness, being alert, mm-hmm. being awake, not being asleep at the switch, where Jesus is giving us that same kind of warning. He uses that example. We've heard it in the couple of the parables over the last mm-hmm. few weeks about the tenants that are called
yes.
in, and here's five, here's 10 talents, here's 5 talents, here's 1 talent.
Yeah.
The guy with 10 goes out and somehow makes 10 more, and the guy with 5 goes out and makes 5 more, mm-hmm. and the guy with 1 says, oh, I think I'll just hide it for safekeeping, and then gives it back, and he's the one that kind of gets thrown out because
right.
he didn't do anything with the talents that he was given. So Jesus, again, using that same theme, that he leaves, a man leaves home and puts his servants in charge. Well, what does he expect? He expects they're going to take care of mm-hmm. his possessions, his property. They're not just going to use it as party time. They're going
right.
to
that's right.
They're going to you know, really work hard to protect what he's entrusted to them. Well, it's very obvious what Jesus is saying about that.
Absolutely.
What has God given to us? Everything that we have, you know, yeah. is what God has given to us. Not material possessions necessarily, but our life, our gifts, our talents, our resources, the people in our lives, in so many different ways. And so, you know, we're supposed to make good use of those things, not to help us do bad things, but to help us to live in God's way. So watch out.
Amen. Absolutely. So we just have about 3 minutes left, Bishop. So, or Vicki, anything that you want to talk about, or anything in the diocese that's going on, or 2 minutes left.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's lots going on in
oh,
the
yeah.
diocese.
Well, you
especially,
pick one or two things.
Especially
yeah.
during Advent.
Oh, yes.
I think in terms of being prepared and being ready, there's a lot of opportunity to go to confession, I think, is something people can be mindful of this season. A lot of parishes hold extra hours, and a lot of parishes, I know, in particular in Kalamazoo area, have communal penance services. So just check your parish listings for that. But that's a good way to be prepared.
And that's a very good point. So, you know, if yeah. you're not comfortable going to your own pastor, you know, you can go to other churches as well. You can go to other parishes as well. But when they bring 3 or 4 different pastors in to hear confessions, reconciliation, and it's a great time to prepare, and it's a great time to be able to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your vision becomes much clearer when you get all that garbage out of the inside of you. You can hear God. You can mm-hmm. see God better, too, in your life. So a couple minutes left. Bishop, anything, you final remarks you'd like to make?
Well, I think just to build on that point that Vicki made, I mean, mm-hmm. that's a beautiful gift that the Lord has provided for us, because we all do. We're all sinners. And we're not left to be in our sins.
Amen.
So there's that opportunity, that great sacrament, that's related to the Eucharist, because we should try to be as well prepared to receive the Lord as we possibly can. That doesn't require going to confession all the time, but it does if we have any serious sin that's come into our lives, and
yes.
and that's the one way that Jesus has provided for us through the great sacrament of reconciliation, is he entrusted that to his apostles, the first priests, and to all priests that are ordained, that have that great privilege, really, of standing in Jesus' stead, mm-hmm. and having somebody who confesses his sins be able to absolve them from that serious sin that has separated them from one way or another. So a great Advent, a great time to make a good confession. It's the beginning of a new year. And so with that, we ask the Lord to bless us all. It's been great to be together as we begin this new liturgical year. And we ask the Lord's blessings to come upon us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you, Bishop Bradley.